learning Nefesh HaChaim, the Prokim that were attached to the Shah Gimel, and we're doing Perik Beis of the Prokim. What we spoke about last was that when a person gets to this level of understanding that there is nothing in the world besides Hashem, and he can actually connect with that idea, where he feels that his whole life is only about doing for Hashem, because Hashem is the entire reality. Hashem is the entire reality of the world, and it's all about doing for Hashem. So then there's a problem of that, reaching that level, what we call Lishmo, doing it for the sake of Hashem, would lead him to a certain type of arrogance, that he feels that he's superior to other people. And that's a terrible sin. If a person does feel arrogant to anyone else, that's a terrible sin, and he has to conquer that. He has to get rid of that. And he can't feel superior to anyone. He can't sneer at anyone, even within his own thoughts. That's totally forbidden. And even though he sees people doing mitzvahs not for the sake of Hashem, or he sees them learning Torah not for the sake of Hashem, he cannot sneer at them ever. Now, we left off just by saying that the value of Torah, if you do see someone who is a Torah scholar, who is sitting learning Torah, so that has tremendous value in the upper worlds. It's hugely powerful. And we're still going to see more on that topic. And therefore, he came out, we left off in the last class, that even a person is learning Torah without any particular intention for Hashem, just maybe he's learning Torah because he likes learning. So that is higher than performing a mitzvah for the sake of Hashem. Learning Torah stum, without any specific intention. And I was learning Torah for a negative reason, learning Torah in order to hurt people, in order to quarrel with people, that's never good. But learning Torah without any specific intention for the sake of Hashem, just because he likes learning, so that's even higher than fulfilling mitzvahs for the sake of Hashem. Fulfilling mitzvahs at the highest level possible. As high as you get to in fulfilling your mitzvahs, learning Torah is always higher. And he has a proof here from the Gemara, Mavua Umuchach Lehediv Gemara Erchim. It's proved explicitly in the Gemara Erchim. Bo Mine Reb Yehuda Brei Reb Shimon. Right, that Reb Yehuda Brei Reb Shimon asked, Teichocha Lishmo Vanove Shelo Lishmo. If a person is rebuking another person for the sake of Hashem, for the right intention, or if a person is acting in a humble way, not for the right intention. He's acting humbly, which is a supreme attribute, but not for the right intention. Hai minayi adif, which one is better? Is it better to rebuke others for the right intention, or to be humble for the wrong intention, to act in a humble way for the wrong intention? That's what he asked. Amalei, the rabbi told him, mi loy moidis, don't you admit that anova lishmo adifa, that if it would be humility for the sake of Hashem, that would be preferable. Because we were taught that this trait of humility is greater than all the other traits. So therefore, if humility for the right reason is greater than all the other traits, even humility with the wrong reason, because humility in and of itself has tremendous value. So even a person being humble, but for the wrong reason. Even so, since it's the ultimate trait, so even for the wrong intention, it's still the ultimate trait. And therefore, shelo lishmo nami adifa. So therefore, humility not for the right reason would be preferable to anything else. D'amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, lo'ilam ya'asek adam b'toyim mitzvah safilu shelo lishmo. This is a famous teaching. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that a person should always involve himself with toyim mitzvahs, even without the right intention. Shemitoyim shelo lishmo vo lishmo. Because for doing it with the wrong intention, he will come to do it with the right intention. That's just the nature of the man. If you do something good, even though you do something good with the wrong intention, you keep doing something good, you will ultimately come to do the right intention. Just the act of doing something good has a tremendous power. We made a nishma de kavosa nami beisigatoy. So if that's true with humility, that even humility with the wrong intention is the supreme trait, so then the supreme activity, which is the study of Torah, even with the wrong intention, is also way above anything else. So therefore, similarly, even Torah not lishmot, even Torah with not the right motivation, will be higher than all of the mitzvahs. The Ken Chilku Razal, the Yisrin Erech Maidus HaTeir Al HaMitzvahs. And similarly, our sages also distinguish the greatness of Torah, the greatness of the value of Torah, over above the mitzvahs. Sheshchus for HaMitzvah Bein Be'idnet Asik Be, Bein Be'idnet Lo Asik Be, Yirach Megina Min HaYisurim. He brings here that the merit and the light which is issues from mitzvahs. A person who performs mitzvahs creates a light, he generates a light. So therefore the merit and the light which comes from mitzvahs that a person generates, whether it's when he's engaged in the mitzvahs or whether it's when he's not engaged in the mitzvahs, you know, a person done a mitzvah and now he's not doing the mitzvah. So maybe there's still some light from the mitzvah that he did. Or if he is engaged or if he's not engaged, right, regardless. So therefore the Gemara comes out that maximum is hirak megina min esun, that mitzvah, the merit of a mitzvah can protect a person from suffering. A person who's engaged in a mitzvah, that can protect him from suffering. However, it doesn't have the power. A mitzvah does not have the power to save a person that he won't sin. A mitzvah, the occupational mitzvah, can save a person from afflictions which come as a result of his sin. Because the principle is that no one suffers unless he's done something to deserve it. Nobody ever suffers unless he's done something to deserve it. So therefore, sin causes suffering. Suffering is an outcome of sin, but mitzvahs can protect a person from suffering. But they don't have the power to save him from sinning. So therefore, it's not a full remedy. It's like a protection, which is like a temporary protection in a sense. However, the light of Torah is what the sages have taught. Gam lefi hamaskonisham, even according to how the Gemara concludes there, al kol ponim beidna d'asik bo, at least while he's engaged in Torah, gam hi matzelus oisem yachet. However, occupation of Torah saves a person from sin, which is much more powerful. More powerful to be saved from sin than to be saved from the sufferings that will come through sinning. If we can be saved from the source of the problem, which is the sin itself, then that's the ultimate level. Amud Yerushalmi also says in the Gemara Yerushalmi, chapter Aleph of Peah, Shekol HaMitzvahs Ein Shavim LeDovei Echad Min HaTorah. Yerushalmi says something even more powerful. It says that all of the mitzvahs in the Torah do not have the worth of even one word of Torah. Just a single word of Torah has more power and worth and force and merit than all the mitzvahs of the Torah together. Moshe Spail Halon in Yetz Hashem. We're still going to explain later when we get to Shah Dalet to get the fourth Shah. Because there we're going to speak about the concept of acquiring Torah and the importance of Torah. Therefore, engaging in Torah, even without the right intention, is also preferable to the mitzvahs that are done with the right intention. From this reason itself, just the power of Torah itself, because we know that doing things not for the right reason will bring you to do it for the right reason ultimately, and therefore there is nothing greater than Torah. And therefore, if a person is studying Torah, no matter his motivation, no matter where he's coming from, we can never scorn at him, we can never sneer at him. Perek Gimel. V'gam ki be'emes kimat bilti efshe lavoy teke b'tchila kviyas limud l'madregas lishmo krui. Another point is that in truth, it's almost impossible for a person to immediately, that he starts studying Torah, that he can fix for himself to do it for the right motivation. It's almost impossible. Because there's a person progresses from being a small person to being a larger person. So to have the right intention from the start is an impossibility. A person can't enter Torah with the right motivation. Because engaging in Torah not for the right reason is itself the step which leads to studying the Torah for the right reason. Now, it must be a step. It's just like you can't get to the second floor unless you can climb up to the first floor. You can't get to the second floor unless you go via the first floor. Even if you take an elevator, the elevator has to go through. It goes from ground floor to first floor, and then it reaches the second floor. You can't get to the second floor without going through the first floor. So similarly, you cannot get to doing a mitzvah with the right intention unless you first start with doing it with the right, wrong intention. That's the step. That's the step to reach the high level. Therefore, if that's true, that's the step to reach the highest level. So we understand the person who's taken the first step is also beloved to Hashem, because he's on the right path. He's taken the first step. What can Hashem want from us? If we're not holding and we're taking the first step towards Hashem, then we're doing what we can. We've taken the first step. Everything, even the biggest journey, starts with one step. So this person has taken the first step. So then, certainly, he is beloved to Hashem. Right? And he uses the same analogy here. Right? Just like it's impossible for a person to climb from the ground floor to the attic unless he uses a ladder. So we have to go on the ladder. We have to take the steps of the ladder one by one. For this reason, the Gemara says, for this reason, the Gemara says, always should a person engage in Torah and mitzvahs even with the wrong intention, even without the right intention? Now, when it says always, what does the word always here mean? It says always one should engage in Torah and mitzvahs even without the right, even without the right reason. Shelo lishmo. What does it mean always? Amram oilam roitzelam. The always is going bekvias. Always a person should be learning, even with the wrong intention. It's going on the actual learning. The learning itself, if a person commits himself to a certain path, he should be consistent in that path. So therefore he's committed himself to a path of learning, so he has to continue to learn. Not just to learn once and then to leave it. It doesn't have that many, much benefits. Like a person wants to have go on a diet, so he diets, he takes on a very elaborate diet and he does it for one day. So we understand that the benefit can't come from one day. Right? A person goes on an exercise program, and he goes one day. He goes to the gym one day. So we understand one day of working out, it doesn't have too much benefit. So therefore, that's what it's saying. Even if we're doing Torah with the wrong reason, but if we have to be doing it consistently, le'olam, always, we have to, if we're always studying Torah, so therefore we will get to success. I know. In other words, when a person first starts learning Torah, the main thing is that he commits himself to be learning consistently. Tommy, Yoima Velaila, right? Consistently, day and night. And then, even though sometimes while he's learning, he'll fall into his thoughts some sort of motivation just for himself, or selfish motivation. Because he feels superior, it helps him to feel superior, and he gets a certain type of honor, a certain type of distinction. So therefore it can happen when a person's learning, he starts thinking about all the honor that he might get from his studies. In However, this should never be a reason to separate or to weaken himself from learning Torah Hashem. And as a person should never say, since I'm not learning with the right motivations, I better stop learning. That certainly is a mistake, right? Never should he stop learning. That's the solution is to be doing it. If you're doing it, then everything else is going to work out. El adraba. On the contrary, when he has this negative thought, on the contrary, he's chazik moed de'esekatoi. So just, he should just commit himself to learn more, even though you've got this negative thought. Doesn't matter. Just keep learning. Learn more. Don't stop learning. And he should be confident and he should be certain that for sure, right, even though he's doing it with the right, wrong intention, he has these dreams, these illusions of glory, he has these thoughts of glory and right, and personal honor. Even so, he has to be confident that ultimately he'll come to be learning with the right intention, he'll reach a very high spiritual level. And that so it is with the mitzvahs also, that even though a person is doing a mitzvah for the wrong intention, he's doing it in order to show off, he's doing it in order to get some sort of prestige, he's doing it in order to get some sort of a prize. Even so, just keep doing it and don't give up hope, you will get to the highest level. If a person will just stick to the plan, stick to the path, stick to the ladder, keep climbing the ladder, he'll get to the highest level, for sure. And therefore, someone who has the audacity to scorn or to scoff Chas V'Sholem, someone who's learning Torah, somebody who feels some type of superiority and he wants to make fun of a Torah scholar, right, or someone who's learning Torah or someone who's performing mitzvahs, even though that this person he wants to laugh at is not doing mitzvahs for the right intention, so he wants to laugh at him. The Chas V'Sholem, this person who laughs at another person who's performing Torah mitzvahs, so therefore lo yinake mi'avon, he will not be cleansed of this sin. This is a terrible sin, and he will have to suffer consequences and punishment for having done such a thing. As to scoff anyone who's performing mitzvahs or who's learning Torah, and it doesn't matter what the motivation is, to scoff is a terrible, terrible sin. And he is destined to be punished for it. And not only that, but he is counted amongst our sages, someone who scorns, someone who makes fun of another person who's doing a mitzvah, who's learning Torah. It's a frightening thing. It says in Chazal that he is counted amongst those people who have no share in the world to come. If he's prepared to scoff someone who's doing a mitzvah or learning Torah, even with the wrong motivation, he falls into this category of those who have no share in the world to come. Gehenim Einim Kalim. And he will outlive Gehenim. Right? The fires of Gehenim will burn and burn and burn him until they burn out, and he'll still be stuck in Gehenim. That's what it says there. Vehema minim hamasuris vapikosim. And this is referring to idolaters, and it's referring to masuris is people who hand over other Jews to their enemies. In other words, tattletalers, slanderers, talebearers. So, which is also a very terrible sin, right? To deliver another Jew into the hand of his enemy is a terrible sin, to go and tattletale on him. So that's called a mosul. And an apikoros is a heretic. So these three are grouped together, the idolaters and the slanderers and the heretics. They group together with those who have no share in the world to come. V'chein v'mishner reish perik chelek, monu es apikosus, apikos bechlal oisen she'enim chelek v'lelam bo. Also the Mishnah in chelek, perik chelek in Sanhedrin, also counts the apikoros, the heretic, amongst those who have no share in the world to come. V'aminan b'gemore sham, it says in the Gemara there, Rav v'Rebbe Chanina d'Amri Taveu, Rav and Rebbe Chanina, both of them said, Hamavazi Talmid Chochem, someone who scorns, someone who denigrates, someone who disgraces a Talmid Chochem, who shames a Talmid Chochem. So on this, Rebbe Yudin, Rebbe Shub, and Levi, Omru, Shafilu, Hamavazi Chaveru Bifnei Talmid Chochem. And moreover, someone who scorns a Talmid Chochem, not only someone who scorns a Talmid Chochem, but someone who scorns his friend in the presence of a Talmid Chochem, which is also a type of disrespect. He calls his friend a name, but in the presence of a Talmud Chochem, like he's not scared of who he's standing in front. He's not scorning the Talmud Chochem, but he's acting in a very lowly way in front of a Talmud Chochem. So that is also considered a heretic, because he doesn't have proper respect for the Talmud Chochem. The fact that he can act in a lowly way in front of the Talmud Chochem also shows that he's scorning him, shaming him. And moreover, if there's a person who says, "What benefit do we get from the rabbis?" Someone who says the words, "What benefit do we get for the rabbis?" Ledidu kor. Their learning is for themselves. What they learn from themselves. The books they write, they do for themselves. All their studies, maybe their studies are wonderful, but it's all for themselves. So someone who says that about the rabbis, that all their learning is only benefits themselves. The only people who benefit from the rabbi's learning is the rabbi himself. Anyone who says such a thing, ha'zeh b'chlal apikoros, he's concluded in the category of a heretic. And one who shames scholars, one who disgraces scholars. He's also considered as showing a false side to the Torah. He's considered someone who is falsifying the Torah. And such a person who does this, who treats the Torah in such a lowly way and speaks such negative things about the Torah, so he loses his share in the world to come. Right, Hashem should save us. The Ken Rabbeinu Yoina writes in Shai Tshuva, Shemona Seidem Adregus Chaymeh Onshin. There he goes through a whole series of levels of punishment. He goes from the most lenient to the most severe. Madrega Achreina Mona Esakas Sh'am Razal Aleim She'enim Chelik Lulam Mubo. And the last level that Rabbeinu Yonah brings over there is the category of people who have no share in the world to come. In other words, that's the most severe category, that a person loses his whole spiritual future. And in that category, when he speaks about those who have no share in the world to come, Mona gam ken sham hamavazitam chochem bechlal zois. He also speaks there about someone who shames, who disgraces a Torah scholar in that category. V'chein mona oiser Rav Chaim Vital. Also Rav Chaim Vital also counts one who disgraces the Talmud Chochem amongst those who have no share in the world to come. In his book, Shar Kedusha, Bechlal Oisakas, he also puts them in this category. Bechol Choyme Onsha HaNir HaZeh, and all the severity of this punishment, this terrible punishment, Humitam Ashehum B'moride Or, Midas HaTorah Kedusha, because such a person who scorns scholars is minimizing the light. It's like he's pulling down the light of the beauty of the Torah, of the Holy. He knows he's actually lowering the Torah. He's lowering the power of the Torah. He's tarnishing the Torah. He's making fun of the Torah. He's lowering the Torah. So that's profane. That's profaning Hashem Chas V'Shalom. Moshe Erich B'Zeh Harbeinu Yonah, just like Rabbeinu Yonah speaks about this at length, that someone who scoffs at Torah scholar is also scoffing at the Torah. Because of Huzal Sham, and also Rabbeinu Yonah writes there, Shigam Ika Oine Shel Hamanuyim Sham Boisakas. Also, he writes that the punishment for those who are in this group, The reason they punished so severely, I mean, why should he be punished? He only cracked a joke. He only made fun. He only said words. How come the punishment is so severe? If he scorns the Torah scholar, how come the punishment is so severe? He just said some words. That's all he did. He said some words. The answer is because he's lowered the glory of the Torah. He's shamed the Torah. He's pulled down the honor of the Torah. And therefore, the effect, even though the words might be just words, but the effect of these words are very, very dangerous, or very, very ugly, and therefore his punishment is also ugly. Since he is making fun of someone who occupies himself in Torah without the right intention, lo lishmo, so therefore he is discouraging a person, he's discouraging this other person from learning Torah. Let's say he sees someone learning Torah for the wrong intention, lo lishmo, and he makes fun of him. So therefore this person will become discouraged. He discourages the other person. Therefore another guy's going to give up. You know, this person made fun of me and he's going to give up. And you'll never get to the higher level of learning Lishmo. You're still with Chochem Gomor to become a full Torah scholar. So certainly in this, if he will laugh at him, he is considered as if scoffing at Talmud Chochem, even though this person is not yet a Talmud Chochem. Maybe he's a beginner, he's just starting to study, and he's not studying with the right motivation. But since these are the steps that are going to lead him to become a Talmud Chochem, and this person by scoffing him has withheld him from ever reaching that potential, so therefore he's considered as if he has scorned a full Talmud Chochem. Because he's taken a beginner who's on his path of growth, which would lead him to the highest of levels, and he stopped him in his track, and therefore it's like he's destroyed the Talmud Chochem. And therefore it's considered he scorned the Talmud Chochem, which carries the highest severity. So to scorn a Talmud Chochem, a great Talmud Chochem, there's no greater profaning of the name of Hashem, there's no greater scoffing and scorning and shaming than this. This is the biggest type of scorn that one can pour, is just pour scorn on a Torah scholar. And by doing this, he has gone and lowered and diminished the beautiful glory, the magnificent glory of the Torah, of the Holy Torah, Torah Kedusha, La'aretz. He's brought it down to the ground, and he's taken it right down to the dust. And he's destroyed all of the service of Hashem. If there's no Torah, then there's no service of Hashem. So he destroys the service of Hashem. All of the Torah, it destroys the religious Jewry. Right? He destroys the Torah of Hashem. Because the service of Hashem, right? All of our service, whether it's our shul service, whether it's our mitzvah performance, all the mitzvahs that we do, the bris milah, the weddings, the funerals, everything that we do is only possible within the community of Israel if we have Torah scholars who direct us, who will guide us. Right? So we need Torah scholars, we need Torah scholars who are engaged in learning Torah and the Holy Torah, Yom Ha'Belayla. Torah scholars who are engaged in learning Torah day and night. Because the eyes of Israel look to the scholars, that the scholars should direct them what they should do. They're trying to get guidance. People need instructions. How do I do this, Rabbi? How do I do this, Rabbi? So therefore, Israel will look to their scholars. Therefore, a person with his scoffing and his joking and his jesting, he causes people not to become Talmid Chacham. He discourages young students from becoming Torah scholars. So that there will be no more Torah scholars in Israel. He's destroying the whole service of Hashem. He's destroying Yiddishkeit. He's considered an enemy of Yiddishkeit, the whole Jewish religion. If you discourage young scholars, you discourage youngsters who want to start learning Torah, because you're making fun of them that they're doing it for the wrong motivation, so then ultimately they won't study Torah, you'll discourage them. And the Jewish people will remain without Torah scholars, without Torah, without anyone to direct them, anyone to guide them. If a person doesn't know, he doesn't have proper guidance, and he doesn't even know that he's sinning. People who don't have proper guidance, it's for instance Shabbos, he doesn't know the proper, he doesn't have someone to show him the laws of Shabbos, so for sure he's going to break Shabbos every single week. So he's going to be ruining the Torah. Okay, ain't the cost of gam kein rabbeinu yoinazal sham. Many of you have brought the same idea. Now, this by scoffing Torah scholars, discouraging Torah scholars, you can destroy the whole of Yiddishkeit. And for this reason, a person has to be careful. On the contrary, right? That he has to be careful to honor and to elevate as much as he is able to. You see someone studying Torah, you should try to say every type of word of encouragement you can. Give him encouragement, give him praise, and whatever you can do to help elevate him, to encourage him. And that's the obligation. Anyone who's studying Torah, no matter who it is, whether it's a small child, right, whether it's a person who's been doing it for the wrong motivation, it doesn't matter who it's doing it. If we can give any type of encouragement, any type of honor, any type of recognition to a person who's studying Torah and to thereby encourage him, so that's considered that he is supporting the Torah of Hashem, he is upholding the Torah of Hashem. Even without the right motivation, and the reason is because this person will then be on the path to his own personal greatness, because we have to start from the lowest level, we have to start with the wrong motivations, and a person will just push on along the path of personal growth, and then he will get to a high level. A person who is engaged in Torah, and even though it's not for the right motivation, he will be, he's on the path of growth, and he will eventually get to the highest of levels. If he sticks to the path, and if he keeps applying himself, he'll get to the highest level. That's just the reality, and therefore we have to encourage anyone who's on that path. V'gam im nireh shekol yemei chayav min rav ad zikna v'seva haya iskei ba shelo lishma. Even if we see someone who all his life, from his youth until his old age, he was always involved in Torah, learning Torah for the wrong reason, lo lishma. If you see him from youth to old age, he's learning Torah lo lishma, not for the right reason. Gam ken ata chayav linhog b'kavod. Such a person also, you have to show him great honor. The culture can shelo lo vazos, and all the more so you should never scorn him. Not only must you not scorn him, you must honor him. Show him as much honor as you can. Shekev she'osek b'teras Hashem. Since he's engaged in the Torah of Hashem, but b'tmidus, he is studying Torah. Since he is studying Torah, even though he's doing the right wrong motivation, but he's studying Torah, built his sofik without a doubt, shayah kavanosa pamim rab with gamishmo. So just the fact that he's studying Torah, there's therefore sometimes there will be moments that he will be studying Torah with the right motivation, lishmo. It'll be moments, right? If studying onwards continuously, right, for hour after hour, so there must be moments in his studying when he suddenly hits a peak. He suddenly has the motivation of doing it, the right motivation for the sake of Hashem. Gam yishmo. Kumoshi iftihu razal, just like the sages promised. Because they promised that through doing it, shelo lishmo, shemitoch shelo lishmo, bo lishmo. Through doing it with the wrong motivation, you'll come to do it with the right motivation. That is just the reality. You will come there. Ki ein haperush davke shiyavu mizeh li lishmo. Now the explanation that from lo lishmo you come to lishmo doesn't mean you'll get to a certain place and then you'll be there. Like you say, you'll get to a certain town, and then you'll be in that town forever. You will be in the town as long as you stay in the town. No, it's not like that. Right? When it says you'll come to lishmo, it doesn't mean that you'll be there all your life. It could be that you can hit a high level, and then you can, like a peak, you can hit a peak, and then you can have a small drop, and then you can try and hit the peak again. Right? And it's like a zigzag type of action, where you're hitting the peak, and then dropping, hitting the peak, and then dropping. And that all has value, as he's going to explain it right now. Right? We don't mean that he's going to get absolutely to a state called lishmo. Doesn't mean you're going to get such a state that you'll always be lishmo from that moment onwards because you arrived. Rather, what it means is that every time he sits down to learn in a fixed way, Zman kama shoyis retufa will be learning for a number of hours, a number of continuous hours. Up shadir klal haisek v'nosa shelo lishmo, even though in general his intention is not for the sake of Hashem. Im calls it together with this, bilti efsha klal shelo yikanes bilti believe emtza limud al kol ponim zman muat kavon retsuya lishmo. It's impossible, if he's going to learn for a number of hours, it's impossible, and he has been learning for a while, that they won't enter his heart. Somewhere in the middle of his learning, for a moment, somewhere in the middle of his learning, will enter into his heart, at least for a short time, and a pleasing intention of wanting to do the will of Hashem, doing it lishma. And therefore, everything that he learned until now, which was lo lishma, niskadesh nita, he says, yeah, beautiful chiddush. And therefore, all his learning that he did up to now, lo lishma, not with the right intention, all his learning that he did up to now, lo lishma, will suddenly be sanctified, will suddenly be purified and sanctified. It will be suddenly purified and sanctified through that moment, Because in a sense, right, by hitting that high, even though he hits that high just for a moment, he's connected. Once you're connected, everything goes through. Like a person is trying to connect to, he's trying to get a message through. Right? He's trying to get a message through. So therefore, once he's connected, the message goes through, the whole thing goes through. So the whole thing is purified. So now he's connected to the upper world, he connects to Hashem, and he's all his Torah, even though he did it with the wrong intention, all that Torah is all linked together, it's all tied together, and all of it is elevated. He elevates his whole self, just even with one moment of Lishma, he elevates everything that he's been doing.